The following program is rated TV-MA-N-O-C. It contains a big pair of nuts directly on your chin. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Coming in hot. Oh, this looks juicy. There's a lot going on here.
I'm seeing stars.
Ow! Hit Nico Cotto.
My nipples.
Looks like Hess Hornaday.
I'm fucking proud of myself.
Might want to get your thyroid checked.
Obesity is epidemic in the United States and a major cause of death.
What is fat-tivism?
I, a fat person, am sharing my own lived experience.
Pizza is a vegetable.
Your fat-phobia, your problem.
It is not my place as a smaller-bodied white man to comment on it.
Radical body positivity.
What can men do against such reckless hate?
There's only one man who can help me!
This is for you new people. I only have one rule. Everyone fights, no one quits.
This day we fight!
Thwol Normuth.
The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, the bacon is sizzling. Welcome to the Daily Swole.
Testing, 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 test, 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 testing, testing, testicles, testing, testing, testicles, testicles. Welcome, everyone, to episode 8, Hundo and Dose of the Daily Mother Swole, the most muscular Swolecast, Beercast, Broadcast, Gamecast, Mancast, Pimpcast, Sleevescast, and Slaycast in the realm. Because when I flex, you flex, we all flex our biceps. What's going on, beaches, booshes, busters, hustlers, and your hoes? It's your boy, Papa Swoleyo, back with another episode. Today's episode of the Beastcast is brought to you as powered, is sponsored by Everest and K2, flexing on all you beach. All right, fam, welcome to the show. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button and you are subscribed to the channel live on the Roomblay, rumble.com/thedailyswole. And of course, you can catch the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, anywhere you bang your ear holes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple. It helps tremendously. Thank you for sharing the stream with your friends, people that need some knowledge cock in their lives. And today is the Sunday Fun Day Q and Anus. We're just taking questions today. So you can start dropping your questions in the comments down below. Hashtag Ask Papa Sully. We got a few calls today. We got a bunch from Instagram, and we'll take the live questions, of course. So you can start dropping those right now. Okay. Also, reminder, we still have a lot of specials going on over at SwoleNormousX.com. If you are ready to join the fam, go and sign up now over at SwoleNormousX.com. Get access to all of our programs, private live streams, yoga, meditation, so much more. And we also still have 20% off over at PapaSwoleyo.com for merch. Right now, I'm rocking the Muscle Alphabet long sleeve tee, and it's very, very soft and comfortable. Man, my nips feel great.
Wow.
My nips feel fucking great in this shirt. All right, that being said, let's get into today's episode. We got a great swole card. A lot of you are already dropping that hashtag in the comments already. Let's summon the Falcon and get this potty started. Falcon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tess Hornaday, and thank you, Leo, you raging alcoholic. Hashtag sick fucking gains for a chance to win today's Swole card. Again, hashtag SFGs will do just fine for a chance to win today's Swole card. All right, let's get into some questions. Again, drop your questions in the comments down below. Hashtag ask Papa Swolio. Let's start off today with a phone call. Let's start off with the call. If you want to, let me see, do I have that soundboard up? Yeah, let's see. If you want to call into the show, remember, just go to askpapaswolio.com and you can call in 24/7, 365, and we'll take your question in the next upcoming episode. If not the next one, maybe in an upcoming episode. In an upcoming episode, we usually try to get to them as soon as possible. So if we have a few questions, we'll try to smash through those. So askpapaswolio.com if you want to call into the show. We got one from Emma. Emma, you are on the line.
Hi, Papa Swolio. I just wanted to ask you, what exercise do you think is best for inner thighs? I'm having a hard time toning in that area. By the way, I go to the fucking gym every day.
Yeah. Good for you. All right. Thank you for the call. All right. Sweet. Well, Emma, thanks for the call. I think we literally covered this question. I think we did it yesterday. And, you know, of course, sometimes you can't listen to every episode or you call in before you hear the answer, but it doesn't matter. We cover a lot of questions over and over again. Toning the inner thigh, you can't really tone a muscle. What you're meaning or you're referring to is, of course, strengthening, building muscle. You don't want flabby inner thighs. So there are a bunch of great movements. You can do things like, straddle stretch, good mornings, which are great. You could do the adductor machine, the inner thigh machine. Those are actually great. Most of them are pretty damn good. You can do things like Cossack squats, which are great for the inner thigh as well. You can look those up. But in terms of targeting the inner thigh, you could use ankle weights. You could use cables. You could do a bunch of different ways to strengthen those muscles. The most important thing to understand is if you want to strengthen and build your adductors, of course, things like squats and everything will train your adductors, but they're not going to target those. So you really need to have that frontal plane bringing those thighs together. So what you have to understand is you need to pick a stable exercise that you can progress over time. Because if you're just doing body weight exercise or ankle weights, just doing tons and tons and tons and tons of reps, you're only going to build so much muscle. And you can't burn fat in an area. You can't spot reduce fat. So what you want to make sure that you're doing is building muscle, but then of course, training, lifting heavy, getting proper sleep, getting rid of endocrine disruptors in your environment, getting sunlight. You want to build muscle everywhere. So you're metabolizing and getting rid of excess body fat everywhere. That way you look leaner. So you have less body fat in that area of your inner thighs, in addition to everything else. And then of course, if you have more muscle there, then you'll have shape. You won't just have like skinny, soggy, like soggy spaghetti. You don't have skinny and soggy legs. You want to have toned and shaped legs. So that's what you're referring to. Toning just means having muscle, but also not having the fat on top of it. So the adductor machines are great. You just need to go heavy enough. Just need to go heavy enough and make sure that you're increasing the weight and or the repetitions over time in terms of, let's say you're doing 100 pounds and you can only do 7 reps. You want to try to get that 100 pounds for 8 reps, for 9 reps, for 10 reps, for 11 reps. And then when you're starting to get higher, then you add 5 pounds. You're doing 105 or 110 for 7 reps. And then you're doing 110 for 8 reps. And then you're right. You just build that strength and build that muscle over time. You need enough protein, proper sleep. I mean, all these things are very important. All these things are very important. But yoga is great. And just in terms of mobility, you want to be flexible. You want to be mobile too. So practice your yoga, vinyasa flows. All those things are great just for general strengthening and mobility of the hips. But if you want to build muscle in your inner thighs to fill out your legs, definitely want to do something you could progressively overload. And that's a great question because it's an oftentimes, thank you, Emma, if you want to follow up with that, if there's something that's unclear for you, feel free to call back in. But that's something that's often neglected. People have muscles on the front of their thigh, their quads, or the outer portion of their thigh, and hamstrings, but then the inner
their inner thighs are just kind of flat, right? They just have like a inner slope. They don't have any bulk. They don't have any beef on their inner thigh. Because a lot of dudes, they don't get on that inner thigh machine, which is sometimes called the sus machine. And just because you're like doing a spread, you're just completely spreading, going, you know, open eagle. So
how dare you?
Spread eagle there. Open eagle. Spread eagle. So yeah. Don't be embarrassed to do the adductor machine. It works. Space shuttle door gunner, what is the best move to silence a woman? Duct tape.
What is the best move to silence a woman?
Or your fist. Both work. No, duct tape works. It does work. It does work. It does work. Or a cock. These are just off the top of my head. Off the top of my head. Just spitballing here. Just spitballing. All right. We're just getting started. Just getting warmed up. But great question. Very good question. Yeah, the good girl, bad girl machines. Big O, Papa Swolio, what's in the cup? Vegan tears. Vegan tears in my Papa Swolio 2024 mug. All right. Yep, it's Johnny. Yep, it's Johnny. All right. Johnny, what is easiest to build muscle from? Fat or skinny? It doesn't really matter. It's an interesting question, but it doesn't really matter. If you don't have a lot of muscle mass, you could build muscle if you're fat, and you could build muscle if you're skinny. I wouldn't say either one is easiest. All right? I wouldn't say either one is easiest. So if you don't have a lot of muscle, if you don't have any muscle mass, you could be fat and not have muscle mass. You could be skinny. That's why it's called to be skinny fat. Skinny fat just means you don't have muscle mass. Fat, usually you don't have muscle mass. Can you have muscle mass and can you be fat? Sure. You see power lifters, people that are fat, but they're also, they have a lot of muscle mass. So having more muscle mass will put you in a healthier position overall. Stronger bones, better metabolism, you know, in terms of, you know, maintaining blood sugar and stuff like that in many cases. So easiest, I think it's probably just perspective. I don't think it really matters. I think you're better off starting from being skinny than just being fat, because then you don't have necessarily the health downsides or excess skin and stuff like that from people that are fat. But it is what is. Bottom line, what are you, right? So, yep, it's Johnny is asking, what's the easiest? I don't know, what are you? Are you skinny or are you fat? Wherever you are, that's all you need to worry about. You don't need to worry about what it's easiest. What's your situation, and then do it. All right. Let's do one from Ganba. Papa Swolio, is carnivore diet good for muscle building? Yes. I don't necessarily think it's the best long term, like depends on what you're truly trying to do to put on as much muscle as possible for bodybuilding. I personally wouldn't do carnivore. I don't do carnivore. I largely do carnivore, but I'll have some fruit, some white rice now and again. But I mostly do carnivore, but I do have carbohydrates. So I don't think that's ideal just to eat meat. You know, if it's just meat, beef, organ meats, raw dairy, can you build muscle? Of course. Do I think pure carnivore is ideal for building muscle? It depends on how much muscle you want to build. If you just want to be muscular, lean, a more slender build, sure. But everyone's different. Personally, I like to add some carbohydrates, but not a ton. Not a ton. Animal-based, mostly carnivore, with the addition of fruits and stuff like that. That's my preference. So carnivore diet is great for getting rid of inflammatory foods and ultra-processed foods. And again, it's just a full elimination diet, so which is great. And I recommend it to people if you're struggling with a lot of issues. Even if you're not, I think it's much better. Carnivore is far superior to vegan, but again, for me, I don't do full, absolute 100% carnivore. I just realized I don't even have my... Let's see. Let me open this for a second. All right. Let's see here. Melissa in the Telegram, can you tell me, Papa Swolio, what types of magnesium you use? Probably still answer some of these questions, because we've gotten the same one a lot recently. you guys need to listen to more episodes of the podcast. We just covered this recently, but it's all good. Melissa, can you tell me what types of magnesium you use in the AM and the PM? I know this was discussed during the roundtable on Thursday, and I do not recall what you said, what you use and when. Trying to reduce coffee intake, and I think I need more magnesium. Thanks. Magnesium glycinate. That's what I would recommend. I take that throughout the day. I take magnesium glycinate. I just get the powder and I weigh it and I mix it. You could take magnesium threonate at night. You might like that as well. That's a good one to take at night. And I'll take that at night too. But if I didn't have that or I didn't take that, I just play around with different things. I don't know how much more I notice of taking magnesium threonate at night in addition to glycinate, but I take glycinate. Glycinate's usually the best for people because it usually has the least side effects where you're not going to have, you have to take a ton of that to have like diarrhea or something like that. But if you take magnesium citrate or these kind of, that's crap. You'll shit your brains out. And you don't want to do that. Magnesium shits are not fun. Agus Gia. Papa Solio, I fucked a little bit. Look at you. I fucked a little bit my elbows tendon. That's a weird way to say it. I fucked a little bit my elbows tendon. How'd you do that? You fucked your elbow. I guess you get your elbow over there. While training, I've already went to the doctor, but they didn't. And it just cuts off. Okay. That's not even a complete question there. So I'm going to say, pay attention to what your doctor's saying, even though they probably don't know what the fuck is going on. Honestly, they don't. They're like, oh, take this ibuprofen 800. They're probably not going to do anything, unfortunately. So I would look into, sorry to hear about that. If you have localized injury, you got to be careful because that's going to, you want the inflammation to subside, the immediate inflammation before you start like doing a lot of work on it, maybe icing, stuff like that. But what you can do is then get a TheraBar. And that's really great for anyone. A TheraBar, you can get them on Amazon. There's different levels. What is it? Yellow, red, green, and blue, I think, in terms of the strengths. So TheraBar is great for working your extensors in eccentric fashion if you have medial or lateral epicondylitis. So if you have golfers or tennis elbow, that's a great cure for that. Pretty much it'll work for most people's tendonitis. You just have overuse injuries. Let's see. Sean Mack, Telegram chat. All right. Good questions today. We're on a roll. Good questions all around. I'm impressed. All right, Sean says, when it comes to plantar fasciitis, what are some good exercises and stretches to aid in healing it? That's a tough one, just because when you have inflammation in the bottom of your foot, you have to walk, so you're kind of aggravating it. You can use a golf ball or a tennis ball. Golf ball is probably going to be too hard, but a tennis ball to kind of massage and try to loosen up the plantar fascia, gentle stretching, calf stretching, stretching at the bottom of the feet, like against the wall, but also you can, you know, do all sorts of foot stretching, you know, with your toes up and your top of your foot on the base of a wall or a baseboard. You could do that on a tennis ball too, just to kind of mobilize it. What I would also recommend, these are just recommendations, not medical advice, but what I recommend is a lot of times people wake up and they just start walking around and their feet ache. It's because you're not warming up. Just think you're lying horizontal for 8 or 9 hours, and then you're getting up and you have 200 pounds just crushing on this tendon that's already inflamed from 0 to 100. So I would do, before you get up out of bed with your feet up over off the edge with both feet, capital letters, just do the whole alphabet, just big letters A, rolling your ankle around. It might not seem like it's doing anything for the plantar fascia, but it is. You're lifting your toes up, you're in dorsiflexion, you're stretching out the tendons and ligaments in the bottom of your foot. So just do the alphabet, capital letters. Do it once or twice, both legs, both feet, whether you have it in both feet or not. Yoga and some other mobility, or the tennis ball stuff could be good right after that, unless it's going to aggravate it. You're going to have to play around with that. You could also take a plastic water bottle. I don't recommend drinking from it, but one of those, like, I don't know, Poland Spring or Zephyr Hills, you know, like the smaller ones, you could freeze it. You could freeze it and put water in it, and you can roll your foot on it. That's nice too. You're kind of rolling, so it's ice, so it kind of feels good. So you're kind of like a tennis ball, but you're massaging it with ice. If you have any kind of like discomfort, you're kind of like getting in there, but with some cold therapy. So it's really about mobilization, stretching, and allowing it to recover. But that'd be the best thing, because what happens is people just, you can't really rest that muscle. It's not a muscle, but you can't really rest that area because you're walking on it. So what you need to do is make sure you're not aggravating it from the start. So make sure you're mobilizing it. Like I said, with the alphabet, capital letters and stuff like that. First thing in the morning is great. Yeah, rolling your foot on a lacrosse ball can be good. Lacrosse balls are very hard. So I would start with a tennis ball too. It depends on the inflammation, right? It depends on, same thing with any kind of foam rolling. You don't want it to be painful. It might be you want it to be uncomfortable, but if it's too much, you could use a lacrosse ball. But a tennis ball is a better place to start. And then if you want more, you can go more. All right. Let's see. Let's get into... Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you could tape tennis balls together. You could do all sorts of that stuff. All right. Let's get into another question. Live question. We got a call. Remember, if you want to call into the show, askpapasfolio.com. This one's from Luis. Luis, you're on the Mencast.
Hi, Papa. I'm speaking here from Brazil. And I would like to hear from you. What do you think about calisthenics?
My God, do we get this question every day, or do we get this question every day? I think it's fine. Push-ups, pull-ups, right? Body weight exercises. That shit's fine. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish. So, like, what do I think of rowing? I think rowing's great if you want to get better at rowing. What do I think about rock climbing? Well, if you enjoy rock climbing, then guess what? You're probably going to want to go rock climbing. So it really doesn't matter what exercise you're doing. If you're trying to build muscle, there's better ways to build muscle, lifting heavy weights. Can you build muscle doing calisthenics? Sure. But there's a limit to how much muscle you're going to be able to build. That's why pro bodybuilders don't do calisthenics for a reason. So again, what are you trying to accomplish? I think you could do that. I think you should also be lifting weights. I think you should be doing yoga. I think you should be doing a bunch of things. So there's things that you might enjoy doing, and there's things that are going to get you the results that you want or that's optimal for your health. So you have to think about that also. Like I said, some people are going to like to paint. They're going to like to paint. Am I going to say, no, you have to go to the gym all the time. You can't paint. If your passion is painting and watercolor, then fucking do that. But you should also be lifting weights. It doesn't have to be your passion to lift weights, but you should be doing strength training because it's good for your body and it'll allow you to live longer and live healthier so you can fucking watercolor longer. So if you enjoy doing calisthenics, that's great. But what is going to get you the results that you want? A lot of times people do thing A because they enjoy it, but they're expecting results B. Well, you're not going to get B if you're doing A, right? So in other words, what are you trying to accomplish? And then is what you're doing ideal to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish? And or are you just doing it because you enjoy it? And there's nothing wrong with doing something that you enjoy, but as long as you are aware that it's not going to get you, a lot of people like, I want to get lean and ripped and like, okay, this is my year, New Year's resolution. And they start going running. And I just ran 5 miles today. It's like, okay, it's not going to get you jack shit. Do you want to look like someone who runs? Do you? Maybe you do. Maybe you do. But if you look at people that run, they're usually skinny fat and have no muscle mass. I'm not saying everyone that runs is skinny, but you get my point. So what do you want to look like? What do you want to feel like? What do you want the outcome to be? Just make sure that what you're doing is going to get you where you want to go. And you could also do things you enjoy too. That's what I think. Thanks for the call, Luis. Shout out to Brasil. Vai pra academia, caralho. Okay, let's see here. Sean, let's see. More Telegram chat. You got a lot of questions there, buddy. Let's see. See if I can get both of these. Son of a fucking bitch. Okay, I was scrolling up. All right, let's see here. All right, Papa Sully, I heard that massaging parts of your foot aid with other parts of your body. What are your thoughts about that being to able to aid in digestion, relaxation? Oh, I mean, foot massages feel great. It sounds like you're talking about like acupuncture or something like that. I don't know. Massaging parts of your foot aiding in digestion, I think, is kind of ridiculous. Doesn't really make any sense, but everything in the body is connected. So you have a lot of nerve endings and stuff like that, and tension and, you know, certain responses and feedback. I mean, I don't know if you're like, hey, you got like a foot massage, all of a sudden you're going to digest better. But if you have a lot of tension and whatever, like, who cares? I don't think like massaging your pinky toe is going to free up memories of your childhood or anything like that. Let's see. But it does feel good. It does feel good. That's why yoga is great. A lot of times yoga releases a lot of like emotions for people just because they have so much tension, because you have like certain emotions and certain thoughts and feelings, and you tighten up certain muscles or in certain positions. So those muscles get tight and they kind of create this feedback loop with like certain feelings and emotions and tensions. And then when you release that, you kind of can release a flood of stress. So let's see, Papa Sully, how would you have a client progress in doing pull-ups? Negatives. Practice negatives. You want to do better with pull-ups? Do negatives. Do heavier negatives. Do slower negatives. That's how I'd have people progress. Right? I'm not a big fan of the band pull-ups, but I would have people do like inverted rows and have them do negatives and then move to doing isometrics and negatives and then gradually moving towards doing full pull-ups. Negatives are fantastic for pull-ups. All right, let's see. Michael in the Telegram chat. Papa Swolio. All right, I injured my right hand, and I'm right-handed, and now that I'm released, I am finding my whole right arm is significantly weaker than my left arm, especially in a pressing motion. I had to get off the bench and use offset dumbbells just to work the left arm. Should I be isolating or bench what my right arm can handle until it catches up? Should I be isolating? So you injured your right hand. Pressing motion, had to get off the bench and use offset dumbbells. What's an offset dumbbell? Like, you're using 20 pounds in one and 15 in another? Don't do that. Not at the same time. You could do one arm. You could do some one arm pressing. It's just hard to get a stable exercise with pressing one arm. It'll likely catch up, but you might be able to do like some one arm cable work. It's just hard to stabilize unless your backup is against a bench or if you're on a machine. It's just hard to, because when you're doing a press with one arm, your whole body might move like at that open chain. It's hard to like lock your body in position and only work one arm properly. You can be isolating. How long, what was the injury and how long were you injured for? You'll likely catch up, but it's also not just benching. It's also just like everything in general. Like, I would definitely put a little bit more focus on that. But remember, more isn't necessarily better, because if you're doing more sets, you know, it might not be recovering as quickly. And plus the muscles are compromised. So doing more sets or more volume isn't necessarily going to get it and catch it back up quicker. It might just be working the other arm less to allow it to assimilate more. But yeah, you could be doing some definitely certain movements. Like, you could do single arm lateral raises. You could do single arm in terms of curls or triceps and things like that. Chest is a little bit harder to do a single arm. You can do it. You can do it. It just depends on what tools you have access to. You broke your hand, you're out for about 6 months. Yeah, that's significant. That's significant. But just remember that training something more doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get faster results, right? So you have to make sure you're getting proper recovery. So training more frequently doesn't change the fact that those muscles still need recovery in order to be able to. Just make sure you're progressively overloading, track it. Make sure you're progressively overloading, pick stable exercises, and yeah, you might also want to get back into like doing, I don't know if you do club work, like club swinging. That's a great way to, and a big thing when it comes to like an injury like that is the coordination. So that neuromuscular coordination, which is a huge component of strength, doing club swinging is great for wrists. It's great for hands. It's great for the shoulder and the elbow. And it's a great way to balance out the coordination and that kind of dexterity with left and right arms. Hashtag SFGs. It's sick fucking gains for a chance to win today's swole card. Fuck yeah! Hashtag SFGs. Really good questions today. Let's take another call. Last call. We'll take some more from Instagram, but we got one from Wyatt. Wyatt in the house. Wyatt, you are on the line.
Hey, Papa. My question to you is regarding Bitcoin. How do you purchase Bitcoin? Do you use Coinbase or do you have another method? The reason I ask is because I came across a couple videos of people claiming that apps like that are not the safest route to go. And I was just wondering, how do you recommend setting up a wallet without using a Coinbase wallet? Or do you currently use Coinbase yourself? Just curious on your thoughts. Thank you.
Cool, Wyatt. Great question. Well, Coinbase isn't a wallet. It's an exchange. So I have used Coinbase in the past when I didn't know any better. I would never use Coinbase again. So I definitely don't recommend it. And no matter where you are, and this information that I'm going to give depends. If you're not in the United States, some of these companies, they're only available in the United States. So if you're listening from outside, this may or may not be good advice if you're not in the United States. So Coinbase isn't a wallet. You never want to leave your Bitcoin on an exchange. If you don't actually hold your own keys, then you don't actually own Bitcoin. This is one of the issues with people looking at these Bitcoin ETFs that might be launching this week or next week in the United States. So, you know, you have you don't own Bitcoin if you buy these ETFs. So just keep that in mind. These are more for institutions that can't actually hold their own Bitcoin. They need to be moving large amounts like pension funds and so on and so forth. So you want to make sure the beauty of Bitcoin is actually owning and completely being in 100% control of the asset. So there are a couple of great places in the United States. And some people are having, for various opinions, you could use. So the ones that I would use that I have used that I currently use, you can use the Cash App. That's a great way to purchase Bitcoin. All right. You don't want to sell your Bitcoin. Cash App, not financial advice. Cash App, Swan Bitcoin. You can go to swanbitcoin.com/PapaSwolio. You can get $10 of free Bitcoin. And also River is a great app and a great place. Now they're all KYC where you have to, you know, add in your bank information, which is know your customer. So, but those are great places in the United States in order to buy Bitcoin. Now, granted, when you purchase Bitcoin, if you don't have possession, you don't actually have any Bitcoin. You paid for Bitcoin. You might have a claim to that Bitcoin, but if the company goes under or something happens, it's not actually yours. So what you want is a wallet. You want cold storage. Now there's a lot of different companies, a lot of different products out there. And the ones that I would recommend, and there's a lot of different products and there's a lot of different applications, and some are much more tech dependent. I mean, as much as some people would say, oh, it's not that bad, just get one of these. Like some of them are more complicated than others. So the best ones out there, period, are Cold Card. And these are my experience. Cold Card, Bitbox O2, the Bitcoin only one. It's from a Swiss company. Trezor is good. There are some other ones like Jade. I think it's Blockstream Jade. There's Passport. There's a few other ones. I used to use Ledger, but they've been having some sketchy issues. And I'm not a big fan of companies that do anything else, that do any other shit coining besides focusing on Bitcoin only. So those are some good hardware wallets. Those are good, good options for cold storage. And what that means is, you know, your own personal access to the blockchain, to essentially your claim to your Bitcoin. And then there's a lot of different ways that you can secure with your private keys and so on and so forth. But cold storage is very important if you want proper security. So if you buy Bitcoin from an exchange, and let's say you have what's called a hot wallet, if you have a wallet on your phone, you can have a wallet on your phone, but I want you to think about it in this way, and then we'll move on. If you have a wallet on your phone, what if, I don't know, what if your phone gets, somehow it gets hacked, or there's a software, you know, glitch or blah, 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 or something happens. You can lose all of that. It's a hot wallet means it's connected live to the internet. Cold storage means it's off, it's disconnected, it's separate from any kind of like direct access that people are going to be able to hack. So if it's on your phone, you can understand having all these apps, maybe a virus or something like that, where there can be some more security issues. So think about it this way. A hot wallet is the same as like what you would carry around in your wallet. Would you carry around your life savings in your back pocket? Probably not. That would be stupid. So let's say like you wouldn't want to carry around like $100,000 in your pocket. You could, but if someone takes it from you, it's gone, or you lose your wallet, it's gone. And I'm not saying in terms of, and this is not, this doesn't have to do with your cold wallet. If you lose your hardware wallet, but you have your seed phrase and your 24 words, you can recover the wallet. But, you know, I don't want to get too complicated with this, but bottom line, a hot wallet is something that might be like a blue wallet or something, or moon wallet that might be on your phone, but it's just connected to the internet. It's on your phone. There's just more security risks. So you might have something that you're spending. Let's say you're using Lightning, or you're in El Salvador, you're sending Bitcoin or something to a friend, or you're purchasing something on Facebook Marketplace, or you're using Bitcoin or whatever it is. You know, you might have a couple hundred bucks in there, whatever. Okay, you lose that, it sucks, but it's not everything that you have, kind of thing. So anyway, hopefully that answers your question. So that's what I would recommend. River is great. Cash App is great. Block, which is the company with it, which is Jack Dorsey's company, I think they just came out with, or it's pre-order for their new wallet. I think that's supposed to be very universal, very easy onboarding to use. But the ones I mentioned before are very high rated wallets. And it's really hard to go wrong. You have to just choose something that you're comfortable with. But then there's other forms of security like multi-sig that you can go with companies like Unchained, where you have two or three keys in order to enact transactions. So it's like a couple other layers of security in case you lose one wallet or one seed phrase, you can still access your Bitcoin. So there's a lot of different layers of technology. I don't want to confuse people, but what you were asking is if you're buying on Coinbase, let's say you buy on Coinbase and then it's just sitting there on the exchange, that can be hacked. You don't own it. So when you buy Bitcoin on Coinbase, for example, you don't own it. It's a number on the screen, but you don't own that. You don't have that Bitcoin. It's different than dollars, right? If you have a Wells Fargo account, like technically, like you don't have that money. It's Wells Fargo's money. They can tell you can't access for whatever reason. You never know. You're not actually in possession of it, but you can actually take full possession of your Bitcoin and have 100% control, especially if you run a node and et cetera, et cetera. But if you buy from Coinbase, it's not yours unless you take personal control. So you want to get one of those hardware wallets and take self-custody. Okay, long answer. Great question. I love talking about that stuff. So hopefully that gives you a lot more insight than when you asked. Milos 2009. And of course, that wasn't all the be-all, end-all. There's a lot more to learn about it, but definitely start learning about Bitcoin. That's one of the most important things that you can do in 2024 if you don't know anything about Bitcoin, is to start learning about it. Milos 2009, Papa Swolio, can home workouts effective? Can home workouts effective without equipment other than freeways? Yeah. Can home workouts be effective without equipment other than freeways? You can build a shit ton of muscle with free weights. That's what some of the greats in bodybuilding only use. I mean, how many free weights do you have? Do you have, the question is, do you have enough weights that you can continue to load and improve your strength and build muscle over time? Do you have enough weights? So that's the question. So yeah, absolutely. You could build muscle at home with free weights. 100%. No questions or comments came through when I was talking about the Bitcoin stuff. Was everyone just kind of like, what? Or just kind of like zoned out listening? All of a sudden the chat just like stopped, like froze. Okay, Daniel Smith, 1992. Is intermittent fasting bad if you still hit your macros We did that question yesterday. Sean MC 1212, Papa Solio, what would your ideal lunch / dinner be for someone who works full time? Steak? That'd be my ideal lunch and dinner for someone who works part time or someone who doesn't work. It'd be hard to afford steak if you don't work, but Klaus R. Steiner. My name is Klaus R. Steiner. Yes, my name is Klaus R. Steiner. Pops, will you gym at morning or at night? Morning. Eric, a.k.a. Dad Life. Papa Solio, what pre-workout would you recommend, if any at all? I think we need to define what pre-workout is. Pre-workout is just essentially anything that you're consuming immediately, pretty much before you're working out. Doesn't have to, but most people think of pre-workout as something that's going to get you a boost to training. It doesn't really, it's not really what pre-workout is. Pre-workout is something you're doing before you work out. So it doesn't have to give you like this energy boost. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be like something stimulating. People associate pre-workout with like caffeine. It doesn't have to be, right? Beta-alanine, agmatine, or citrulline malate, magnesium, all these things. They're not going to get you amped up. They're not going to get you fired up, but it might buffer acidity. It might give you a little bit more vasodilation. It might give you a little more focus or give you more longer term energy in terms of, you know, preventing crash or things like that while you're training, but it's not going to give you like a rush. It's not a central nervous system stimulant. So if you're talking about caffeine, I would just drink some black coffee. That way you're not getting, you do not need attention. You do not need 200-400 milligrams of caffeine. That's ridiculous. Most people that think they need that or claim that they need that, they're just chronically exhausted. They're not getting quality sleep. So they need that to actually have energy. Yeah, that's a shitload. That's like 5 cups of coffee, right? A cup of coffee is like, what, 50 to 80 milligrams of caffeine, 300 milligrams of caffeine. You don't need 3 or 4 cups of coffee to train. And a cup of coffee is 6 ounces. Isn't it technically 6 ounces? I know a cup is 8, but whatever. Chev 1006, Papa Soul, I trained for about 8 months, but I didn't get the results that I wanted. I'm quite thin. What should I do? Jesus Christ. You trained for 8 months and you gave up? That's a Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
You trained for 8 fucking months. Dude, I trained for a year and I was getting like lean and I got skinny ripped and I realized I'm not bulking. I'm not putting on size. Maybe chicken and salad is not a good way to bulk and put on muscle. This was right when I talk about when I first started lifting. So then in 2002, I realized, oh, I need to eat every 2 or 3 hours. And I did that like a freaking machine. And I put on a shitload of weight and muscle. So you train for 8 months. Good luck. You're going to be training for decades. It's going to take you years to put on muscle. Years, not months. It's going to take you years. You didn't get the results that you want in 8 fucking months. Most people aren't going to get the results that they want in 5 years. I'm still training. I don't have the results that I want. It's not about the results for me. It's about the process of it, but I'm still training and trying to achieve things and do better. And I've been training for 25 fucking years. So get used to that. You're never done. Cause when you stop, you start sliding backwards. Okay. Holy fucking name. Jorge Leonardo Morlasan. Jesus Christ. So many letters. I appreciate no periods or underscores, but so many letters, you have the dot, 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 the ellipses at the end. Work with sled for explosiveness? Sure. There's a lot of things you do for explosiveness. You could use bands. You could use balls. You could use kettlebells. You could use barbells. You could use powerlifting, you know, Olympic lifting for explosiveness. You could do sled work for explosiveness. That's just maximizing your force, the rate of speed of your force, right? As much force as you can in the shortest amount of time. So strength is just brute, you know, the maximum amount of force. But if you're producing maximum strength, you're going to have a slow rate of speed, right? If you're doing a 1 rep max, you might be producing maximum force, but the time is going to be more traumatic. You drop the weight like 10%, you're power is going to be jumping up like 50%. Because if you're doing a picking a weight that you can do two rep max instead of one, you're going to be able to move one, two. But if you do one, it's going to be like, it's a struggle the whole time if you're really doing a true one rep max. But if you're doing a two rep max, obviously that weight's going to move a lot faster. And if you're doing a weight that you could do six times, the first couple, you're moving a lot faster, right? So just think about that. Oops. Jonas, 16121. My favorite Star Wars character. D's nuts. I would say Han Solo or Luke Swolewalker. Maybe Swole3PO, Darth Vader is a good one. Ass to grass too. That's a good one. Literally Anch. I'm a student, Papa Solio. Don't have enough money to buy me protein. Cause of poor household income, please help. Get a job. You're a student. Get a job and work. You can have a job while you're a student. A lot of people they work while they're a student, so they pay their student loans as they're, yeah. You can still work and be a student. You can make money online while you're, yeah, and have a job and go to school. The hustle's real, man. I get you. I ain't have money in college either. But I worked my ass off, especially in the summers and stuff. HD Louise underscore A. Papa Solio, what is a food plate? A food plate that naturally boosts testosterone that you recommend. Steak. Eat some meat. Eat some meat. Trust me, eat some meat, get quality sleep, lift heavy weights. All right, fam, that's all we got for today. Any more live questions, you could drop them in the chat. Remember, hit the thumbs up button. Thanks for the questions. Go to SwoleNormousX.com. Join the Swole fam today. Awesome specials going on. And of course, go to papasolo.com and save 20% off merch. And we have an accountability meeting tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern time. So the episode will be private for members only. 12 noon Eastern time, SwoleNormousX.com. Get access to all of our programs. We have hundreds of yoga classes. We have thousands of nutrition recipes. We walk you through the elimination diet to help you customize your nutrition. And we have all the master classes and meditation. And like I said, all the muscle building programs that you need to make sick fucking gains, men, women, elderly, the infirmed, obese. I don't care if you are 18 or 78, you can make sick fucking gains with the fam. And of course, the greatest community in the realm. Surround yourself with amazing people. Hashtag sick fucking gains. For a chance to win today's Swole card, you know what it is. What it do, bitch? What it do, bitch? All right, we got a winner. It is in our Telegram chat. It is Melissa. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right. Melissa, send us an email. Hold on a second. I need to get the... All right. Melissa, send us an email to support@swolenormous.com. Swole card, 2802 in the subject and your mailing address in the body of the email, and we'll send you this Swole card. Congratulations, Melissa. Why, I'm so glad I made your day. That's absolutely fantastic. That's fucking great. Absolutely great.
The Almighty says, don't change the subject, just answer the fucking question.
We'll take some soundboard requests. You can drop those in the comments too. Come on, fam, drop your requests. Now you got something you want to hear. What's going to tickle your ear holes?
But I want my own hair. I want my own hair.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I arrived in America's airport with clothing, US dollars, and a jar of gypsy tears to protect me from AIDS.
Damn it.
Fucking people.
Another example of cake gender would be if someone feels like they have different layers or flavors to their particular gender.
I better use my strong.
And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives.
And that's the way, I like it.
The tax on me, quite frankly, are a tax on science.
There's Tiny Tuck, Typical Tuck, Total Tuck, and the Tyrannical Tuck.
As you can see, my nipples have been removed from my body. Where they are, I don't know.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball!
It is not my place as a smaller-bodied white man to comment on it.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Shut up, bitch!
Here we go.
Coast to coast. Fucking nailed it. All right, fam. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here again. Check out membership specials over at SwolenArmistX.com. Check out merch specials over at PapaSwolio.com. We got everything you need to cover your nips with the best merch in the game. Make sick fucking gains with SwolenArmistX. And then, of course, look good while you're doing it with all of our apparel over at PapaSwolio.com. Thanks for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern time, for the accountability meeting. Again, join the fam, SwolenArmistX.com, so you don't miss out on any of that. And we'll be back publicly on Tuesday. Hit the thumbs up button, subscribe, share the show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and all that good shit. Peace, McGee, Snooze, Magoose, yeah, boy. Papa Swole, you out.
Crazy flow, need a straight jacket. Cash flow, I'm a bank addict. Six subs, had the bass smacking. 808s, had the place clapping. Three girls is enough for me, so I pull out like the stock's crashing. Like an IPO, trying to purchase me. This a private sector, so you can't have it. Faking all that boom bapping. Who you think you is, boy? 90s want they sound back, so I give rap all these fake rappers as I take matters in my own hands. I don't need rapping, I don't need zans. I don't need help, I'm a grown man. Now they came left and they sold me.